so excited to minister. And my text this evening is going to be on the word, the sword, and the truth. And the unique thing that happened is I had a message all prepared and ready to go, and God shifted things midstream. And I said, God, what are you doing that for? And it was a really interesting dream, interesting the last couple of days, just kind of scrambling, saying, God, you know what you're doing. So that being said, we're going to start with John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We've heard this many times. A lot of times we hear it over the years. And I'm just getting from my producers that we have some guests coming in here. Wow. Online, you're going to see this in a second. Wow. Hi, Mom. Wow. How you doing? Shalom, peace to you. The nursing home's right over there. How you doing? How you doing? Wonderful. It's good to see you. Grandpa? Grandpa's here. Would you like to say anything, Grandpa? No?
But tonight, we're officially graduating our senior students from youth group. Hey! So we're having a senior citizen party. It's going to be great. Thanks for having us, guys. That's great.
Well, you remember it tomorrow. That's my attempt at trying to be like Pastor Brad. I need a new job. Hallelujah. Exactly. What is it to be a youth again? Tell you what. I don't know about that. It's to be a senior citizen. Not yet, Lord. Is it fun? All right. Hopefully I'll keep my hair. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Okay, back on track, Lord. Hallelujah. So as we begin to really focus on the word and understanding, the word's been here the whole time. When the foundations of the world were laid, we had the word. And tonight, I just want to kind of gravitate back to the word. What is the word? How is the word important in our everyday life? And how it affects us from A to Z? And we do a lot of things, a lot of programs in the church. We worship. Worship's changed over the generations. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if you guys remember the pipe organs. But the church I grew up in had a pipe organ. And that's how we worship. Bless the Lord. We had hymns. Hallelujah. And I could worship to hymns. Now we have Hillsong, and we worship to Hillsong. But what was the thing that's the constant? It's the word. And the word became flesh, and he dwelled among us. And so tonight, we're going to delve into the importance of that. And as God began to shift things, when I began to pray and say, God, what do you want me to speak? And he said, I want you to speak about the word. I'm like, God, I have this message over here. It's really good. I want to preach it. And no, it's about the word. What we need to remember is the word has creative power and bears fruit. And life and death is in the tongue. That's in Proverbs 18:21. So there's so many dynamics and facets to the word itself. And it's very important as we begin to look at this. And I don't know how many of you are watching the whole MCU universe. Right now they're going into what I think is the quantum realm. And they're splitting off the timelines. And every timeline there's something going out from it. And a lot of people are saying, well, if you mess with the main timeline, it shakes everything up. What I got to tell you, though, is no matter what happens in this earth, this remains firm. No matter what country you come from, what language you speak, this, the Bible, the Word of God, is going to remain the same. And I was thinking about it the other day, and I don't know how many of you begin to remember the Tim LaHaye series Left Behind. Really good series. It scared me as a kid. As a matter of fact, I got the junior books because the main books were a little too scary. And it got to a point where it's just like in those books, every moment I was looking, it was just action, action, action. I'm like, where's the rest? I mean, it's just one thing after another. But even in that story and narrative, and no matter what your thoughts on maybe post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, whatever those thoughts are, the constant thing again is Scripture. It's the Word. It's Jesus that became flesh and dwelt among us. And tonight, I want to remind us that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And Isaiah 28:16, it talks about this. And I want to just kind of remind us the function of that cornerstone, that when you build something and you have that cornerstone sitting upon the foundation, you can build everything on it. And it's firm. And as you build, you're like, oh, I see where I need to go. And you start building. And you know how strong the Word of God is, because Jesus is from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The thing about it also is that it can become a stumbling block to those that don't believe. And that's 1 Peter 2:7 through 8. It says, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stumbling, or a stone of the stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they are also appointed. I struggle sometimes as I share my faith, as I walk this faith out in the viewpoint and context of the Holy Bible, because there's going to be people that don't like me because I'm believing this. Even fellow friends and believers, they're like, well, I don't see that in there. I don't understand that viewpoint. And as much as I want to base what I believe upon the Word of God, I do need to love my brothers and sisters, but it always comes down to this being my plumb line. And that plumb line means everything needs to come into alignment. And yet, it can make others stumble. And the reality is I could lose family members, I can lose friends, I can lose church friends, I can lose my job. There's so many things that I can lose, and yet I gain everything because I'm holding fast to the word that is eternal. The word brings life and it brings light. And this is based off of John chapter 1. And it talks about life. And throughout this pandemic, I've kind of seen some people kind of withdraw, and they haven't had a life, and they're sitting there, and they don't know what day it is. They don't know really who they are anymore, maybe because they took their identity from the work they did, and they no longer can do that work. Maybe they're unemployed. Maybe they're about to lose their house, and so they're in a place where everything is crumbling down. And when we learn the word, we hide the word in our hearts, the understanding that this is what brings life. It's not what you do for your job or your work or how many kids you have if you're married. It's this. And as I began to help do missions in Europe a number of years ago, we were on an assignment, and we were sneaking in Bibles into Croatia. And the unique thing was the Bibles were not... they're literal Bibles, but there weren't Bibles like this. They were on an SD card, mini SD cards, and we were smuggling in. We were going through checkpoints, and we had guards carrying our car apart. And the reality is there are people out there that do not want the gospel of Jesus Christ given out because it brings life, it brings revelation, and it brings hope. And when you bring all of those things together, you have an alignment that takes place because the scripture is the plumb line. It's the chief cornerstone. So when we are talking and ministering to our coworkers, it has to be biblically based. In our worship, it has to be biblically based. Everything. And I really appreciate this house and how Pastor Matt is leading this house. Biblical. It needs to be biblical. It's almost like in my conversations with Pastor Matt, it's almost like, show me the money, but it's show me the Bible. Show me this in the scripture. And as he challenged me and other leaders in this house, they're challenging me and it's saying, where is scripture and where are you? And I pray, brother, you get into alignment. The next thing it does is it brings light. And it brings revelation for the next step. As I begin to read the scriptures and I begin to read the words, not only in my spirit but in my physical body, I have rest, I have peace, and I'm able to do my job. I can do things with my family. And so in doing that, I can hear God clearly and know what is the next step for my life. And there's a lot of things, like we had the youth come in. And as the youth come in, you might ask, maybe even the graduating seniors, what are you going to do with your life? Where are you going? What university are you going to? And they may say, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I don't know where I am. And there's times even with myself, I'm like, God, what am I supposed to be doing? And it's like God saying, get back into my word. Get back into my word, and that's going to produce that connection with me. Pastor Matt and the team had been preaching about being part of the vine and being part and connected into this God ecosystem. And it's important for sustenance and life. One of the things I remember that Jesus taught as he began to teach the group of people on the Mount of Olives, one of the things that he taught was he said, when you're doing things and you're walking and following by the word, they're going to see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I'm sorry to say, a lot of times you say you're a Christian in the community and it's like, oh, he's a Christian. Oh, no. Well, you know, like Christian contractors. I've had a bad rap with Christian contractors. They don't finish the job. They do bad work. I'd rather get a heathen to do my contracting. So it's almost like, especially in that industry, oh no, Christian, oh my. We got to change that. And when we do good deeds by the Bible, by the word, they're going to see that. And they're going to see the light. They're going to want to be attracted to the light. And then guess what? They're going to glorify the Father who is in heaven. And that's the key. And that's the important thing. And I got to tell you, God convicted me in this message that I've been reading my Bible on my phone so much that I've gotten so distracted. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at emails, and I'm doing this and the other. So I actually got my Bible out this morning and said, okay, this is going to become a mainstay in my devotions, not my phone, because I'm getting too distracted. And in doing this, this is my plumb line. This is the important deal. And as we begin to deal with this, and you're wondering, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with my coworkers. I don't know what to do. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. When we put that in our hearts and we're pressed in important situations, I know how to treat those people. Some of you know this. I work for Chick-fil-A. It's a wonderful business to work in, sometimes not. You have people, you mess my order up, you're not fast enough. And sometimes, honestly, there's times I'm like, you know what, people? We got your order out, it's hot, da-da-da-da-da, but that's not good. I can't do that. I have to have a smile on my face, right? And you know what? That plumb line, it's not rude, not puffed up, does not provoke. I like sometimes to provoke people, especially at work. But one of the things I want to talk about is when we are walking in the word and it makes sense and line by line and precept by precept that it connects, then we have revelation, we have peace, we have holiness, and it attracts people to the kingdom of God. Now, some people might say, well, the Bible has a lot of rules in it, and I'm not about following rules. They didn't make sense, you know, those Ten Commandments. To me, the Bible's kind of like this. This is my owner's guide to my vehicle. And you know what? There's days that I don't want to do an oil change. But according to this, I should be getting an oil change fairly regularly. It also tells me what type of oil to put in my car. And it's not there to be mean. It's not there to oppress. But it's there to keep my vehicle operating as it should. To keep it in its order. God knows the very order of what humanity needs and to be in. And that's why it's important to follow the scripture through and through. I want to talk about this evening about the sword. If you could hand me my sword. I brought one of my toys. Hebrews 4. I love this thing. It's beautiful. How many of you watched the Olympics? We have a few. Okay, I didn't really watch the Olympics a lot like I normally do. But this year's, the Summer Olympics, there's fencing. So I wanted to fence when I was younger, and, you know, I didn't. That didn't happen. But it was a dream. But, you know, I do have a sword, so it kind of flows. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Why is it just two-sided? Why can't it just be one? Because it pierces even more. And one of the things about a sword is you can thrust. You can cut. Those are some of the things that you can do with a sword. Now, I decided to bring my rapier today. I didn't bring my broadsword because in some of the Christian community, broadswords are usually used a lot, and I wanted a little pizzazz. So hopefully it was some pizzazz. There was this, I'm going to get ready to shoot this bunny trail, but there's this... I love watching period pieces, and BBC television series created a show called The Musketeers, based upon the Three Musketeers, and they have some rapiers similar to this. I bought this long before I saw the show, but to me, that's hip and very cool, and yes, but anyhow, back to the Word of God, hallelujah. So when we're dealing with the Word, and it's a sword, the importance of the sword in history is it's a weapon of offense. If you didn't have a sword, you were liable to be attacked, killed, and you couldn't defend anything either. So not only is it an offensive weapon, but it's also a defensive weapon. And so as we have the Word of God hidden in our hearts, it's key and imperative to our spiritual soul that we are not only defending ourselves from the wiles of the enemy, but they were also attacking and advancing the kingdom of God. And it's not like we're going up to somebody and shouting scriptures at them. But the key is that we are using the scripture as a weapon. And another thing about swords in the medieval era is it also dignified rank. Depending on your sword and type of sword, it noted if you were rich, if you were in the military, if you were someone high-ranking in the military, depending on how ornate your sword was. So I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that if our Bibles are marked up, highlighted, and all crinkly, that maybe that means that you're an avid person in the Word. I'm going to go ahead and I don't want to cut anybody. But I think it's important that we get back into the Word. And that double-bladed is part... to cut in this direction and to cut back. It gives you so many advantages over someone with a sword that's only one blade. And I was praying about this and I was asking God, God, this is intriguing. Why in many accounts in scripture do you talk about the word of God being double-edged? And I heard the Lord said this. Well, Parker, one side is the Logos word and the other side is the Rhema word. Without the two, you cannot be effective and cut. And you might say, well, what is the Logos? That's the written word. And the Rhema is the creative spoken word by Holy Spirit in that revelation. So the times when you hear God saying, hey, I need you to do this. This is the detailed plan. That's the Rhema. But you have the Logos. And if the two aren't connected and they're not one, it's not going to profit you anything. And scripture says, a house divided itself cannot stand. I cannot imagine that sword with only one blade and the other blade is not sharp. That's not going to profit me anything. And so as we begin to delve into this place of needing the Word of God, I also need the Holy Spirit to guide me through those circumstances like in that Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Yes, I know God's heart. I know I'm supposed to treat them politely, not puffed up, not rudely. But you know what? Guess what? What happens when there's a prophetic word there? And I'm to give the prophetic word. If you have the rhema without the word of God, which it doesn't work that way. There's creative laws in the kingdom of God. And I love the beautiful arrangement how, as we look in scripture, you have Jesus. And they're all coming to him. And he's like, man, you're wonderful. And he's like, I'm not here on my own accord, but I'm here on the Father's accord. And then you see when Jesus is baptized, the Father said, hey, everybody, look at my son. I'm well pleased of him. And then Jesus says later on, he said, look, I can't wait that I'm leaving you because I'm bringing the Holy Spirit. And later on in Acts, through the Holy Spirit, it's like pointing back to the Son who points back to the Holy Spirit. So we constantly have this rotation where each one reflects the other. And it's a beautiful concept. And so when we have the Word of God, that Logos and that Rhema go hand in hand, and you can't separate the two. And I'm finding some churches that sometimes, not direct churches, but just in general, where they want maybe the Logos without the Rhema, or they want the Rhema without the Logos, and that's really where things get cray-cray. And that's where heresies and theology that is not scriptural comes into the church, and it begins leaking and pervading in. And I really feel like it's important in our day and age where our culture is bombarded with so many different thought processes, so many different things that they're trying to say, well, maybe Jesus really didn't say that. Well, I think that might have just been maybe just suggestion. I'm sorry. It's in my Bible, and I believe it, and it's going to produce fruit. In this plumb line, it is important that we understand the protocol of heaven. And when we come in on a Sunday morning and we want to delve into a place of worship and we want to delve into a place of hearing the word and delving to a place of prayer without the Bible and without the scripture and Jesus, who is the word and became flesh, things can get amiss. And even scripture says that when you pray, don't pray amiss. And so that's our plumb line. If we're going out reaching to the community, what's the word say? And so I just want to remember, it's the word. One last thing I want to point out is the prophetic. You all know that I love the prophetic. I've been trained in the prophetic for 10 years. It's one of the things I flow in. But what we've seen is a prophetic movement that's gotten away from the word of God. And it's wanted to hold on to the rhema without the logos. And what I want to publicly do before you in this house, and for those watching online, I want to say, I want to repent for having such a laissez-faire attitude with the word of God and saying, thus says the Lord, when it's not according to the word of God. Because that's damaging people's lives. It's breaking the kingdom down, and it's not showcasing God's love to those around us. And I'm wanting to call, and I appreciate the love and heart of this house and the prophetic, how it's calling it to its roots, to the scripture. Would you go ahead and stand with me this evening? My heart is that we delve into a lifestyle that is word-based. If it's not the word, chuck it. If it's bad worship songs, chuck it. It's a bad type of prayer. I've been hearing some ways of prayer that make your hair stand on end. Like, that's some Middle Eastern stuff, mysticism. Let's just pray. Father, I pray tonight that our hearts would long for you in a place of the holy. That in that place of the holy, that we'll delve into the Logos word, that we'll hide it into our hearts, that we'll be refreshed by it. Father, I just pray right now that as we take steps forward in this house, that we always keep our eyes focused on you. that we keep our hearts focused on you, that our hands are doing your business, that our feet are quick to obey you in every aspect of our lives. Father in heaven, I just pray that as we go into a place of prayer, that in that place of prayer that we're shaking the very foundations of the enemy's camp, because we're doing it through a biblical lens, through the heartbeat of God. I pray, God, that through our worship, through our prayer, through our acts of faith, that it would endeavor to rent the kingdom of darkness inert in this land, in this region. Father, we give you our lives, we give you our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.